The following program is a recorded broadcast. Please do not attempt to call the program. Phone lines are not open.
Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Finally. You know, it took a national tragedy, but finally America is beginning to remember its Christian heritage. Everywhere you look, God bless America. Sometimes right there, superimposed over the American flag, God bless America. And all those bumper stickers with reference to God and Americanism. And as we approach the holiday season, I would expect that we're going to see a lot of good old-fashioned Christian nativity scenes out there on public property. Don't you think? Has America finally woken up and remembered its Christian heritage? And when we get past Thanksgiving and into the Christmas season, should Christians have access to that public space for their symbols, the nativity scene, the creche, maybe the cross? Should other religions have access to the same space, the Muslims, Mormons, Jews? I'm Todd Wilkin. Tonight on Issues Etc., we're going to be talking about religious symbols in the public square. The public display of nativity scenes will be one of the subjects we'll be talking about during this hour. You can join us. Our phone number, 1-800-730-2727. And my guest in this hour, a very rare opportunity to have Dr. John Warwick Montgomery with us live. Normally, we have to pre-record hours with him because he lives, well, too many time zones away to do a live call-in radio show. But we have a rare opportunity. He's in New York, and he's joining us live for this hour of Issues Etc. to talk about religious symbols in the public square. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, professor emeritus at University of Luton in England. He's distinguished professor of apologetics and the history of Christian thought at Trinity College and Theological Seminary in Newburgh, Indiana, and author and editor of 50 books, including Christians in the Public Square. As I said, joining us from New York, Dr. Montgomery, welcome back.
Great pleasure, as always.
Again, our phone number, if you'd like to join us, we have him live during this hour to talk about public spaces and Christian symbols, 1-800-730-2727. Dr. Montgomery, America is, maybe was, a Christian nation. That should give Christians access to those public spaces, especially around the holiday times, for the nativity scene. What do you think?
Well, traditionally, America certainly has been a Christian nation in the sense that the vast majority of people living in the country have had some kind of Christian commitment. But that isn't the issue as far as access to the public square is concerned. Depends entirely on what you mean by the public square. Surely Christians and other religious positions have a right to manifest their beliefs in an open society where everybody is allowed the same free speech rights, the same rights to assembly, and so on. But as far as presence of religious symbols on government property, on state property, that's a very different matter, because there we have constitutionally the separation of church and state, which means that no religion is able to use the tax money that's provided by a wide variety of people for the sake of promoting a particular belief system.
So what are you saying? Are you saying that as we get past Thanksgiving and all the Christmas decorations going up, and including the nativity scene, the creche, those things don't belong in public spaces on public property?
Well, this is going to shock your listeners, but that's exactly what I'm saying. The Christian churches ought to be putting that sort of thing on their own property, and of course any Christian believer can put up such symbols on his or her own private property. But if you put religious symbols on public property, then this necessarily is going to be an offense to citizens who don't maintain that particular position, and those people are paying taxes as well. So you end up with a situation in which somebody is going to be legitimately offended and is going to be paying taxes for something that that person doesn't believe in.
But didn't you just say that in some sense America has been a Christian nation? Doesn't that give Christians automatic de facto access to the public spaces if it's a Christian nation?
Afraid not, because that constitutes what is known technically as the tyranny of the majority. The fact that, let's say, 90% of the people in the country would identify with a Christian church doesn't mean that the 90% can ride roughshod over the 10% who don't go along with this. And, you know, the unfortunate part about this theologically is that if Christians do this so that the non-Christian feels that he is being intimidated and forced against his will to accept that kind of thing, it makes evangelism to those non-Christians much, much more difficult.
So is it illegal to put up a nativity or a cross during the holiday season on public property?
The Supreme Court of the United States has said that if the symbol is so specifically Christian that it would constitute a form of indirect evangelism, then it is indeed illegal to put it there. Therefore, the advocates of this kind of thing have to argue that the Christian symbols have become so general and have been so much evacuated of specific Christian meaning that they don't constitute evangelism. And it seems to me that that kind of argument is counterproductive for anybody who's a serious Christian. Therefore, you know, if you put up, let's say, a cross and you say, well, nowadays a cross doesn't really mean anything, you're hardly being a very good witness to Christian faith.
So in order to get their crosses up in public spaces nowadays, Christians are forced to argue that they don't mean anything, these symbols mean nothing?
Well, not that they mean nothing, but that they don't mean something so specifically Christian that they constitute some form of evangelism. If the symbols have been so evacuated of meaning that they just imply a sort of general religiosity or a nice feeling about the season, if they're roughly equivalent to Santa Claus, let's say, then presumably there wouldn't be a problem. But, of course, if that were really the case, then they wouldn't constitute specific Christian religious symbols anyway, and therefore why would the Christians care?
But for decades, Dr. Montgomery, you know, as people were growing up, even people as young as me, when I grew up, it was not unusual at all to see a nativity scene on public property. It's been standard practice.
Well, sure, but the fact of the matter is that recently, within the last 10 years, have been brought to the Supreme Court of the United States to get this kind of thing clarified. And the reason that these cases have come so recently is simply that the nature of American society has been steadily changing. We are now in a society which is far more pluralistic than it ever was before. I mean, nowadays you've got increases in Eastern religiosity. You've got Buddhists and Hindus. This is as a result of immigration in part. The New Agers have brought in Eastern religions. You've got, of course, the Muslim faith now represented in the United States to a far greater extent than it ever was before. And any number of strange sectarian groups, many of them arising in California, which I think is known technically as the land of the fruit and the nuts. And all of this has resulted in a situation where people who are not themselves Christian have objected to paying taxes for symbols being put on public property which are specifically Christian symbols.
Well, I thought that religious pluralism was something bad, Dr. Montgomery. It seems that Christians should be fighting that religious pluralism here in our nation by trying to find a way of getting those Christian symbols into the public square.
Well, the only way that one could do this would be by changing the constitutional nature of American government. And you know, American government arose as a result of people coming from state churches in Europe and wanting to have freedom to believe as they wished. And therefore, the constitutional basis of religious basis of American government was to separate church and state so that the state could not mandate any particular form of religion. Now, when that happens, there are going to be advantages and disadvantages. The advantage, of course, is that Christian faith can be presented openly in an open marketplace of ideas and is not in any way restricted because of the official religion of the state. The disadvantage is that you can no longer use the state as a vehicle of evangelism. In the American situation, the only way to evangelize and present and encourage people in the direction of Christian faith is to do this privately, for the churches to do it. You can't expect the government to do this for you.
This was last Christmas season. I was going to a concert with my young daughter, and it was being held at a public concert hall, actually on the property, I think, of a public library. And there were all sorts of Christian symbols there on the lawn. Among them, two nativity scenes in different sections of the lawn. Neither of these nativity scenes had a baby Jesus in it. They had a Mary, a Joseph, a donkey, a cow, a stable, and a star, but no baby Jesus. In fact, one of them had Mary and Joseph so close together you couldn't fit a baby Jesus between the two of them. Is this what we have to compromise now to get these symbols on the public property?
Well, I think there's probably a problem constitutionally even with that much of a presentation, because surely by implication this is the Christian story of the incarnation, even though the baby Jesus is not represented. But I mean, that kind of thing, in my opinion, is rather pitiful. I mean, wouldn't it be far better if every single church in that town and the serious Christian believers did a genuine nativity scene on their front lawn? I mean, that would be far better than for some sort of questionable modification of the thing being done simply because it's on a public library lawn.
I think they call that cutting off your nose to spite your face. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is my guest. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Issues Etc. on the Jubilee Network.
International human rights attorney and law professor Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on why he joined the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
I went to Cornell University as a pagan undergraduate. At Cornell, I was converted to biblical Christianity through evangelical witness. Then, before joining a church, I compared the various major doctrinal statements with the Greek New Testament. Amazingly, the Lutheran confessions fitted Scripture exactly. And it was a theology which centered everything on the cross of Christ. The Missouri Synod, with all its human weaknesses, remains the only mainline church which consistently takes a serious view of historic Christian doctrine.
If you want to learn more about the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, call our Issues Etc. resource line at 1-800-737-0172 and ask to receive a free pamphlet called What About the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172.
Next week on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss charismatic worship music with Dr. Leonard Payton, author of the book Reforming Our Worship Music. What are the origins of popular praise and worship songs? Are these praise and worship songs Christ-centered? Are they really contemporary, as they claim to be? We'll talk about it next week on Issues Etc. with Dr. Leonard Payton. Now, if you'd like to know what we're going to be discussing on the show each week for the rest of the year, visit our website at issuesetc.org. There you're going to find a list of topics and guests for the weeks ahead. And while you're there, you're also going to find information on the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, which is held annually in Strasbourg, France. Our guest, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, is the director and professor in residence for this academy. The academy takes place next summer, July the 9th through the 20th in Strasbourg. Other lecturers include Issues Etc. regulars like Craig Parton, Greg Kokel, and Dr. Gary Habermas. You'll find information on the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights under the What's New section of the website. It's issuesetc.org. You can join us as we talk with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery in this hour about Christian symbols on public spaces. 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. It strikes me, Dr. Montgomery, that conservative Christians in America are also, generally speaking, fiscally conservative. They're very concerned about how their tax dollars are being spent, and I think in some cases rightly so. But they don't seem to have a problem with their local and state government spending public funds on purchasing and maintaining nativity scenes during the holiday season. Is that a contradiction?
Well, it seems to me that the reason that this doesn't bother them is that they think that the government ought to be doing evangelism, that what a Christian America means is that the government has a responsibility to carry out the will of the majority, which allegedly is Christian, in order to give a public and governmental approval to Christian faith. Emotionally, of course, we can understand this. A Christian wants to see his religion reflected in every aspect of public life. But these people don't understand the nature of American constitutionalism, that American constitutionalism simply does not allow for an established church. The First Amendment to the Constitution prohibits this, and this is not, as some people like John Whitehead seem to think, only a prohibition against the individual states not having an established religion. The First 10 Amendments to the Constitution have been applied to the states by the Supreme Court through the 14th Amendment, and there's no doubt about the fact that neither nationally nor statewise is it possible constitutionally for tax money to be used to promote any particular religion, even if it's the religion of the majority.
Okay, then let's go back to that issue of religious pluralism and not talk about a particular religion, but how about this? Let's try the old sauce for the goose rule. This month, beginning the 16th of November, is Ramadan. For Muslims, a holy month of fast. Should we have taxpayer money spent to get the crescent moon in public spaces? Or last month, right around the celebration of Halloween for many people, was the pagan holiday of Samhain. And I don't know what pagans would use for a symbol of this, but let's say the bonfire out on public spaces. Or we've got Hanukkah coming up in conjunction with Christmas. And I guess the Unitarians, if they wanted to put something up there, they could just have an empty space up there. Shouldn't everybody get a chance to put their symbol on public space?
Well, that of course, points up the practical difficulties in the viewpoint that you've been describing. There's no way in the world that all conceivable religious positions represented by the populace could be represented in the public square. I mean, if anyone attempted to do this, the result would be utter chaos and bedlam. No matter how many of these symbols that you talk about were put on the lawn in front of the courthouse, there would still be people screaming that their particular religious belief was not represented. I mean, no lawn is big enough for this, and it would produce such ideological chaos that the approach that ought to be taken is simply to say, none of you people are going to do this. None of you are going to do this. If you want to do it on your own property, if you have a church or some sort of assembly and you want to do it there, goodness, it's a free country, and of course you can. But you're not going to give the impression that in some way the government is standing behind and fostering your particular viewpoint.
So did the Supreme Court say it's really all or none, and since all is impossible, practically impossible, then the answer must be none?
Well, the answer is that if the religious symbol, whatever it happens to be, or the religious activity, is of such a nature that it promotes a particular faith over against a kind of generalized religiosity, then it cannot be employed. Mrs. O'Hare, my late nemesis Madeline Murray O'Hare, who took the school prayer issue to the Supreme Court of the United States, also tried to get "In God We Trust" eliminated from the coinage. The Supreme Court would not even listen to this. They said, that's a lot of nonsense. The fact that the coins say "In God We Trust" doesn't promote a particular religious belief in any specific sense. What it does is to speak of the kind of general religiosity that has informed the history of the United States, and therefore that can stay. Also, chaplains in the military, where there are chaplains representing the main religious positions in the country, Protestant, Catholic, and Jewish. There isn't any problem with that. The people in the military deserve some kind of spiritual guidance, and therefore that's allowed to exist. But these are peripheral exceptions. The general principle is absolutely clear. If the religious symbol or the religious activity is such that it would offer an evangelistic avenue, a direct evangelistic avenue to a particular religious belief, it cannot constitutionally take place.
And we really have to really stress here at this point that we're talking about public spaces, public property, not private property. The Supreme Court has never said what someone can display on private property.
Oh, correct. Correct, because that is entirely a matter for the owner of the private property. Now, I mean, obviously, there are rules that would restrict certain activities on private property. For example, if I'm an Aztec and I believe in human sacrifice, I'm not going to be able to set up a funeral pyre and sacrifice someone on my private property. If, let's say, I am a naturist, I'm not going to be able to sit out on my property stark naked in front of everybody in order to promote this. But these are general regulations that are not of a religious nature as such.
All right. I want to come back just very briefly to In God We Trust. I've heard people say, look, I don't see why we're even arguing about the nativity scene on public property, because we've had that phrase, In God We Trust, on our money for a long, long time, and that is a proclamation of Christian faith. Therefore, we should extend the same proclamation to public spaces. How would you respond?
Well, of course, that isn't Christian at all. The fact of the matter is, Scripture says the devils also believe in God and tremble. Christian faith requires belief in Jesus Christ as the incarnate Son of God, come to earth, who dies on the cross and rises again from the dead, and is the only way of salvation. Belief in God as such is not, of course, limited in any way to Christian faith. You've got people believing in God in theistic and even non-theistic religions.
And that gets us back, folks, to the nativity scene, which is pretty specific about who God is. It's the baby in the manger, God incarnate, Jesus, God in the man in whom God was pleased for the fullness of deity to dwell even there in the manger. Do you want to argue, in order to get your nativity scene on public property, do you want to argue that that baby Jesus is just a generic symbol of the holidays? That little baby in the manger isn't who that very scene proclaims him to be? Think about it. We'll be right back. We'll take your phone calls. Stay with us.
International human rights attorney and law professor Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on the importance of issues, etc.
Before settling in England and France, I had my own Christian radio program for 10 years in California and 2 years in Washington State. I was also a regular for over a decade on national religious television. In a word, I have had a great deal of contact with evangelical programming, both good and bad, and my judgment in this area is probably worth something. In my opinion, Issues Etc. is one of the very few programs on Christian radio willing to discuss tough questions with solid theological answers. I consider it a great privilege to be able to appear on the program regularly, and I commend it to every serious listener.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift this week. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can make a credit card donation by calling our resource line at 1-800-737-0172.
You're listening to Issues Etc. on the Jubilee Network.
And tune in tomorrow at 5:03 right here on AM 850 KFUO for part two of Todd's interview with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on religious symbols in the public square.